This is Illinois Edition. I'm Bill Wheelhouse. Recently, Governor Bruce Rauner made some changes to legislation that would decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana. However, marijuana advocacy groups say they hope the legislature accepts those changes. Dan Lynn, executive director of the Illinois chapter of the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, or NORML, says even with Rauner tightening the measure a bit, it's a major first step for that group.
We definitely thought it was a significant step in the right direction. There's a number of municipalities that in Illinois that already have these type of ordinances, so this was just a more of a uniform type of enforcement for every part of the state of Illinois, and not depending on what town or county you're in is going to determine what type of penalties you face. So we were happy, when Chicago decriminalized cannabis. We had an effort with writing that ordinance and getting the sponsor to file it. But now that we're looking to do something statewide, we didn't really take the lead on it, but we definitely are supportive of it.
Now that, what did you think of what the governor changed?
I thought it was all reasonable stuff. We're definitely going to be tolerant towards the lowering of the threshold to qualify for the the violation. We're okay with the fines going up a little bit. Decreasing the nanograms per milliliter of blood is also something that we still see as an improvement over our current law of zero tolerance per se DUID.
How much is that in real person speak?
It's tough to really put a number of joints or how much consumption is required for you to be at that level, because so much of it is determined by the individual's body weight, how much fat they have on their body, along with how much of a regular consumer they are, or if they're a novice consumer. All of those things would be factored into how many nanograms per milliliter of blood you could find on somebody. But I think with the amount that the average consumer would consume, that would be a good kind of level for them to really know if they're going to be impaired or not, is that the 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood. For more experienced cannabis consumers, I think that they could be above that limit and still be safe on the roads, because I think that the idea of a certain amount of the presence of the substance does not necessarily equate to actual impairment on the roads with cannabis. With alcohol, I think it's a little bit easier to peg it at the 0.08. Above it, you're going to be impaired. Below it, you're not going to be impaired. But with cannabis, a lot of it's really determined on how familiar the individual is with consuming cannabis and driving after a certain period of time afterwards.
Do you feel, though, it's significant that Illinois might be doing away with a zero tolerance of marijuana in the blood system, though?
I do, especially now that we're starting to see more states have recreational cannabis. There's plenty of people in Illinois that will go out to Colorado, go skiing, probably consume cannabis out there now that it's legal, and then when they return from their vacation, they could and will probably have cannabis still in their bloodstream long after they're impaired by the substance. But in theory, they could be testing at a certain level that would be above that zero tolerance, and they would be guilty of driving under the influence by our current state law.
What have you heard or are you hearing from people, either lawmakers or others, of whether the legislature is going to deal with this matter?
I think that most of the mandatory vetoes will be tolerated by the lawmakers and by the sponsors of this bill. I think that the bill itself was such a significant improvement that compromising a little bit is still worth the effort, and I think that we will see a concurrent vote for those amendments.
Were you surprised that Governor Rauner signed off on it, even though he mandatorily vetoed it? He still kind of seemed to accept the realization that or express the theory that he felt penalties were too stiff.
Yeah, I think if he's honest about reducing our prison population, if he's honest about reforming our criminal justice system, this is a very easy win, I think, to accomplish those type of goals. And I think that the message that the governor even sent the lawmakers was that he supports the fundamental purpose or philosophy behind these changes. He just didn't want to be as expansive of our current system, then he would rather see it in smaller increments.
We're hearing discussions at state and federal levels about the need to reduce the prison population. Do you think the efforts to cut costs and reduce the amount of inmates is a friend to marijuana rights groups?
Absolutely. we don't think that these offenders should be involved in the criminal justice system. If an adult is responsibly consuming cannabis, there's no reason to punish them or to force them to be arrested or even pay a fine in a lot of ways. Adults are allowed to responsibly consume alcohol. We allow adults to make other adult decisions in the privacy of their own home, so long as they're not endangering other people, so long as they're not being negligent to their children or other responsibilities that we have laws protecting. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't allow adults to be able to consume this plant in the privacy of their own home, even in maybe a public setting like we're about to see happen in Colorado. Without them endangering or harming others, there shouldn't be any penalty at all for this substance.
You've been lobbying the executive director of the Illinois group now for a decade. Have you seen a perceptual change among the citizens towards marijuana or marijuana laws in that time?
Yeah, I definitely would say the most significant thing that I've noticed is now you're starting to see the fiscal conservatives get behind this because of that amount of money that we're spending on enforcement, on prison costs, as well as just the limited amount of resources that law enforcement has, specifically with the time. The amount of time it takes for a law enforcement officer to arrest somebody, to show up in court, to prosecute them, that keeps them off of the street, that prevents them from solving other crimes. And I think that that's really the biggest changing point that I've seen is now people that really aren't aligned with allowing people to consume cannabis, they just think it's costing us too much, the enforcement of it, and that's where we're starting to see some momentum to change these policies.
What's the next step for yours and groups like yours in Illinois?
Well, Illinois Normal does focus on industrial hemp farming, which was once a very active industry in Illinois. We would like to see that go through as well. We're a little more optimistic that we can see that change happen in the next year or two. But we would also like to see legislation filed that would tax and regulate the adult cannabis industry. If we look at the amount of investment that the medical cannabis industry has made in building some of these facilities in central and southern Illinois, the amount of jobs that are created, we know that that could be a significant impact to the economy in Illinois if we were to legalize recreational cannabis, because more of these facilities would be making these investments and creating these jobs for that industry.
What will it take to make Illinois kind of shift that way? More states doing what Colorado has?
More states doing what Colorado and Washington and Oregon and Alaska and the District of Columbia have done, but also a little bit of movement on the federal level, I think, would be very encouraging for the lawmakers in Illinois to embrace this policy.
Dan Lynn, Executive Director of the Illinois Chapter of the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws. I'm Bill Wheelhouse.